On February 14th, we began the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday. Lent has historically been a time of preparation for Easter. Those that follow along with this season prepare for Easter through prayer and penance, self-reflection, almsgiving, and self-denial. It's called a penitential season, meaning that there's an effort made by those who follow along to examine the way they live in this world and to acknowledge the ways that they have caused harm to those people or places that are around them. It's a pretty messy season, I guess. After all, to spend several weeks reflecting on the way that we wrong one another doesn't sound like a lot of fun. But we are getting to the end. In fact, we are now at Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter. Our passage from Mark chapter 11 describes Jesus' entry into Jerusalem during the Passover festival. Our passage is often called the triumphal entry, and I would imagine that that's even the headline in your Bibles, if your Bibles have headlines. A type of royal procession that welcomes back a king or a hero. Now, usually these triumphal entries were performed for kings and heroes that had done battle and they had won. Victory was necessary. Along with the king would march the victorious army, treasure from conquered lands and captured slaves. A formal greeting from the crowd and the local officials was also necessary for a triumphal entry. And then everyone would go to the temple and offer a sacrifice. And Bible scholars throughout the centuries have seen Jesus as this returning king, the Son of God from the bloodline of Israel's greatest king, King David. Even if our scriptures seem to miss on most of the marks of what a triumphal entry actually is. After all, Mark's Jesus does not go to Jerusalem triumphantly, but for a purpose. The victory for Jesus is not yet won. He is not accompanied by armies or treasure. He is not welcomed by crowds. Or while he's welcomed by crowds, he's not welcomed by officials. And he goes to the temple not to sacrifice, but just to look around. The genre doesn't match here. Today, folks who study the Gospel of Mark describe this story a little bit differently than the triumphal entry. They see this as a celebratory welcome gone wrong. See, often when visiting dignitaries or kings would visit an ancient city, there was an occasion to be ostentatious in your display, designed to court favor with these visiting dignitaries. Jesus here is a local celebrity, one that has proclaimed the kingdom of God, one that was seen by some as a dignitary or emissary of this kingdom. Jesus comes on a colt or young donkey because it shows that he comes in peace, not on a horse, which would be an instrument of war. And folks lay down their cloaks and maybe some date palm branches from the fields as a sign of reverence, a common action for celebratory welcomes. But then things do not go as they should. Jesus is not greeted by city officials. And instead of singing hallelujah, which God be praised, the crowd cries out Hosanna, which means God save us. I think we often get these two words confused around this time. And they're not words that we use normally, for one reason. But here's the setting. An emissary of the kingdom of God rides peacefully into the city without a formal greeting. The people in the streets cry out to this foreign emissary, Lord, save us. Lord, save us. They're not celebrating here. They are shouting for help. And when they evoke the name of their great and ancient king, we know that the crowd is looking for help confronting the powers that are oppressing them. Yet Jesus resists using violence to overthrow violence. And Palm Sunday begins Holy Week, the darkest week of the Christian liturgical year. The reading for the week, this week, focuses on Jesus' last days in Jerusalem, the parables he spoke, the miracles he performed, and the company that he kept. He breaks bread with disciples on Thursday to celebrate Passover with a new spin. He's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane the same night, betrayed by one of his closest friends. Some of his disciples appear to be armed, and while the arrest is taking place, one of them pulls a sword and cuts off the ear of one of the arresting officers. Jesus becomes angry at this moment and says, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword up will perish by the sword." And then Jesus heals the person who was wounded. On Good Friday, we memorialized the death of Jesus. He was killed for sedition, even though he came in peace, resisted violence, and even healed those who were trying to bring him harm. This is an old, old story. And I imagine that in a lifetime, there are many years when we simply glaze over Holy Week and Easter. After all, what else can be said after like 2,000 years of Easter services? What new insights can be wrung out of this old story? You know, February 14th marked the beginning of Lent, but it also was the day of the mass shooting at Stoneham Douglas. And for the folks that have lived with gun violence, the cry, "Hosanna, Lord, save us," is not old hat, but a cry for our own day. At marches across the country, 800 marches, over 800 marches, young people and adults rallied peacefully to lament the violence taking place in schools and streets and homes. They marched to support one another. They marched to call on elected officials to change gun laws. And there were many different ideas at the march in Washington. Some of them included banning assault rifles and high-capacity magazines, raising the legal age of purchasing a firearm to 21, requiring universal background checks and mandatory waiting periods for all gun purchases, and creating better red flag laws that would allow law enforcement to temporarily remove firearms from a person who may present a danger to others or themselves. Where we fall on these issues has less to do with our political parties and more to do with whether or not we own firearms. At least that's what statistics tell us. It does seem clear to me that everyone abhors gun violence, though, of any kind. And personally, I think we're a fearful people. Like the crowds in Jesus' day, they had suffered under Roman state violence and local terrorism. That's why they were crying out, "Lord, save us, Lord, save us." I imagine that those in charge in Jesus' day were afraid as well. Afraid of losing prestige or livelihood, or of losing their lives if the crowds got out of hand and they were punished. I would imagine that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he was afraid too. He was afraid because he knew that what he stood for confronted violent empire, an empire that uses torture and death as deterrents. And yet he walked in unarmed an emissary of a God that calls on nations to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. An emissary of God that calls on God's people to offer the other cheek and forgive the offender. An emissary of God that constantly refrains, "Do not be afraid." Probably because that's our natural state. May God call us to examine the ways we can be a more peaceful nation, a more peaceful community, and at peace with such a difficult calling. Amen.